Today we're going to connect with that Irish connection that we all know is out there, and every once in a while we will reach out and make sure that we recognize it. Martin Halley of We Banjo 3 is going to be featured at the top of the hour. We're going to talk to Martin about We Banjo 3 and Irish music. And if, by the way, if you want a full account as Martin in September of 2013, go to the archives on unrealbluegrass.com. And at that time I spoke to Martin about all of the connections that he was aware of. He does a wonderful job of explaining the Irish threads that come into the American music that we call old-time Appalachian and bluegrass music. Go listen to that after the show today, not during the show. But we're going to talk to Martin at the top of the hour about what We Banjo 3 has been up to since that visit. And as it happens, they were on their way to play at the White House for the president. So pretty good timing on our part. So I will tell you this as a setup. It was a very hectic scene. They had just played. I caught Martin after a show. The crowd was still just going crazy. And there are things that happened throughout this interview that have never happened to me. But at one point, he has to leave because someone's just clamoring for Martin to come back and have pictures taken. And he does it. It was like hanging out with the Beatles in 1963.
I'm really happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass. I almost feel guilty, Martin. Martin Halley of We Banjo 3, asking you to sit down after a show like We Banjo 3 just put on. You absolutely blew the entire place away with energy. Great show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, this is our third time back in Cincinnati, and it was incredible. It's such a beautiful venue here, the Ludlow Garage, and the people, I don't know, there's a magic about the people down here. And really for us as a show, we play all over the world, you know, Japan and Europe and Australia, and a lot of time in the States, all over the States. And there's sometimes that spark that happens, that rare conversation between an audience and the band. And it just brings everything to another level. So we were up on stage, and I remember coming up the first half and going, wow, the energy in that room is just palpable. It's amazing. So that took us to a different height for sure, and it was one of those magical nights that'll definitely go down in my mind as one of the good ones.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. And I'll tell you this, we don't need to go back over. You were on the show in September of 2013.
That's right.
Was that the first time We Banjo 3 come to America?
It would have been one of the first trips. Yeah, we came in 2012 and did a short tour.
Okay.
And then we were on a 7-week tour when we bumped into you.
Yeah.
And we've been upgrading now since. We're probably talking about 15 weeks a year in the U.S.
It's great. So in September of 2013, you were very nice to me. You allowed me to ask you to pull all those threads that bring Irish and Scottish music to America and to the American sound and what becomes bluegrass. My show is bluegrass and beyond and inclusive of Irish music and Scottish music, and I love it all. So we don't need to do that again, because if anyone wants to listen to that dissertation from Martin Halley, it's there on the website. So what I want to talk to you tonight about is, first of all, there is, again, and I noticed this, and I want to touch on this just real quickly. I'm not going to keep you long, because I know you're exhausted and you got places to go. When the Irish band is really locked in and in a groove, there's a difference that is so obvious from a bluegrass band, let's say. Let's relate it to that. Nobody's stopping to let another person take a break. You're all playing at the same time, and it all works beautifully. And I regret sometimes, I've played in bluegrass bands, and our habit is, I don't know how this came about. Someone's going to take a break, we all just sort of sit back and chop or just do something and let them in. But you guys just go full bore. This is a full Irish wall of sound. In deference to George Martin, who just died, We Banjo 3 comes out, and when you really get locked in that Irish groove, it's phenomenal, the power that comes out of it. And just for a second, talk about that distinction. Then I'm going to ask you about the album, and I got some more questions.
Yeah, sure. Well, I suppose the thing is, as you said, you hit the nail on the head. The Irish immigrants over here made a huge impact on bluegrass music and old-time music, because they got into the hills and they started playing with those old-time fiddlers style stuff, I need to do a picture. Can we pause for a second and I'll do a picture? I would jump right back in there.
What happened is, this place is still buzzing from We Banjo 3. So as we're having a discussion that we're going to broadcast on the show, there's people over my back that are clamoring to still get in touch with Martin and David and Virgil. it's pretty cool. I'm just sitting here having experience. Again, We Banjo 3. There are people who are still here buzzing. It's been a while since the show ended. And it's got to make it. From the stage, are you having a good time, is always asked. I want to ask you, were you having a good time?
Oh, yeah. It was an incredible. I guess playing in America is such an enormous privilege, because growing up in Ireland, America and Ireland have a huge affinity, and there's a very deep connection, because even though the Irish immigrants came here a couple of hundred years ago and settled and started to become fabric of the community, America's been very good to Ireland. Throughout the years, when we had hard times, America was there and they had our back. So there's a brotherhood and a kinship that goes beyond just country borders. And that transcends just political and economic, and it's even in the music, because our music...
Well, we were talking about that when you got called away, Irish influence. And go ahead.
That's exactly it. They're so remarkably intertwined. So when you ask me, do I enjoy what we're doing here tonight? I do. These venues, you see the two people that put this venue together, the Ludlow Garage, it's a venue full of love. You can see that they put a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication and love and passion into this venue. And we do the same thing with our music. We put love and passion and dedication and hard work into it. And when you get to play to a crowd of really good, honest American folk in a venue like this, that's just magic.
Who are here to listen.
They
want to listen.
They do. And these might be people who, some people in the audience had Irish heritage and they knew about the Irish music. And other people, they were of, maybe bluegrass or folk music. They just loved live music.
Right.
And the live music scene is alive and kicking in America, and it's something to be very, very grateful for, because I don't know another country that you can go on a Tuesday or Wednesday night in a small-sized city, you can go and see 15, 20 different bands.
Live acts.
And they're all incredible.
We talk about that all the time. Seeing live music. Go see live music.
Oh, it's the best.
Because it's the most immediate. The musicians really feel it, like you did tonight, and the audiences interact. It's a magic. There are magical moments.
It is. It's transcendent.
It really is.
Transcendent.
I'm so thrilled with the show tonight. I just think it was brilliant. And I've seen you before.
Yeah.
And I've heard you before. And I play you on the radio. But I just thought tonight was just a brilliant, brilliant show. I yelled at you as I came in, and you were getting ready to go on the air, and I yelled, and I wanted to get a few minutes from you. And you told me a couple things that I want to touch on before I let you pack up and get out of here. This album, Gather the Good,
right.
You mentioned something to me about news involving this album within a week or so in the Billboard.
Yeah, we just got... We've never registered our sales in America, and we just started to do so, and it turns out that the album is selling a lot better than we thought, and so Billboard contacted us and said it would be charting next week. And that's an album that's a year and a half old, but it's won 4 major international awards for music, so it's an album we're incredibly proud of. And what it weaves or tries to do is take the rich tapestry of the music from Ireland and the Scottish Isles and through to the French Canadian music, all that Celtic music, and then blend it with the great American folk traditions of bluegrass and old time.
A little bit of rock sneaking in there.
It's a little bit of rock and roll.
Little brother could have been Elvis if he was born in
the... He's got no hair, for sure. No, we do. We were very, very fortunate that album has done really well. And I guess our biggest bit of news right now is that we will be, as of next week, playing for President Obama in the White House. So we'll be playing President Obama and the Vice President, which is amazing, because just in this turn of the political climate when, a new president might be ushered in, it's amazing to play for someone who has so much historic, importance, because he did massive things in terms of becoming the first black president, and, as an international, that's a huge honor, So I think we've fallen more and more in love with America since we talked last. That's really what I can say.
So we have two more questions, I'll let you go. How did you find out you were going to play for the President of the United States? How did that information come to you?
Okay, that's a good question. I'll answer that first. That came about through the Irish Embassy and the U.S. Embassy Department. So there's a guy, Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, and he has a Department of Special Affairs where he reaches out, and it's a rather wonderful thing that in their busy schedules as politicians and all they do, they make time to celebrate culture and seek out quality, because they had vetted it all, and apparently President Obama really likes the banjo and our band. So
how could he not?
That's kind of cool. Exactly. Steve Martin once said about the banjo that you can never play a sad song on a banjo, right?
That's right.
And I've tried to play sad songs. It just doesn't work. So we're incredibly glad to be able to play happy music. Because when people come out, sometimes people are having a hard time at home or a hard time at work, and you might be their third place. I firmly believe in this third place. You know, there's home and there's work. And then there's a third place, which could be for some people the gym, it could be the bar, it could be a restaurant. It's just a momentary place where they get to be something different.
Right.
And for us, our task every time we go up on stage is to give the people that come into the audience the best feeling possible, that they come away going, I love that. That 2 hours, it took away the worries I had. Like, I'll tell you a story. We had a girl in there tonight who was suffering from terminal cancer. She is 6. And she contacted us. She had her album, her first album, is a song called We All Need by a guy called Guy Davis. And Guy is this incredible blues singer from New York. A real simple song, but it's got a powerful message. And it's her favorite song. She had come to a concert while healthy, and it was her favorite song. She used to sing it, you know. And then while she was in the hospital getting treatment, that was her song she put on to kind of buoy her up. And her dad got in contact with us, and it was incredibly emotional to realize that our music had any kind of power like that at all. So her dad got in contact again today. She's coming along tonight.
Oh.
So she came along tonight, and all I could do was not tear up when she was in the audience, because to think that music can be that powerful.
You're doing well now, Matthew.
So that's the girl we brought up on stage. We gave her the t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And, I mean, that's the most human aspect of music, really.
Beautiful moment.
Right.
It was a beautiful moment without knowing what I know. Now that I know why, it's that much more fun.
Yeah. It's a... That's the pleasure, you know. I did engineering as a career before I started playing music, and I always loved my job. But with music, you have these rare glimpses of, you know, the bare bones of humanity, where you can really just get at person-to-person interaction without all the needless words. And that's the best gift we've ever gotten, you know.
Beautiful. It was beautiful. Second question about the president.
Sure.
Thank you for sharing that, by the way. Second president is when and where? You're going to play for the president when and where?
We're playing in the White House next week. So it'll be...
I knew that. I wanted you to say that.
Oh, you've got to say that.
I'm playing in the White House. Yeah.
We're playing in the White House, which is pretty incredible. I mean, I don't know. I didn't even think they'd let Irish lads in the White House. So there you go. We're pretty glad. And I suppose I want to say a shout-out to your listeners and to you for supporting us and playing us on your show, because it's great that there is real music and real good radio and folks to listen to that, because sometimes I get dismayed at home when there's, you know, the top 40 stuff is on, and to me it's not the music I grew up with, and it's not the music that has real feeling. Whereas your show, and I've listened to it online, it's a show by a guy who's passionate about music and knows good music.
Thank you.
And you lead your listeners through you know, through a great time, and I think all your listeners agree with me on that, but I think they have great taste. That's what I'm basically saying.
Very kind. That's very kind of you. Listen, finish up your business here. Get. Where are you going next?
We're off to Nashville tomorrow night. We're playing this large Music City Irish Fest, which is run by a brilliant band called the Willis Clan. They're a fantastic bluegrass Irish outfit out of Nashville. Really, really tight, brilliant players, and you should definitely check them out.
I will.
They run this festival, and it looks like it's going to be a great night. They've got packed hall, and we're going to get down there, play that, and then we drive to West Virginia. We're playing the Mountain Stage Radio in West Virginia.
Oh, good show.
That's a good show,
yeah,
too, right? And then we get on the road, we see Obama, and then we get up to Chicago and continue on our tour of the Midwest. So,
man, you come here, you come to America in 2013, you're already at the White House. That's brilliant. I love that. I love that so much. Martin
Thank
Howard,
you very
thanks
much.
A lot, man.
Pleasure to talk.
And always good time to see We Banjo 3. Get on about your business. I'll catch up to you again.
Yes.
Thanks, man. That was Martin Halley right after a show. And by the way, I had no idea of the story that was to come. I will tell you this. Not only is Martin Halley a great ambassador for music and for the country of Ireland, and a tremendous musician, by the way. We don't even get to touch on the fact that every member of We Banjo 3 is top-notch. They do play a lot of banjos. They play a lot of string music. And it's just it's an Irish way of playing. It's very different, very, very intricate. Wonderful musicians, but I will tell you this also about Martin Halley. During that story, Martin Halley is an absolute professional the entire time. I changed the song I was going to play at the end of that interview. I'm going to play you the song that he mentioned was the favorite song of the young lady that they did, in fact, bring up on stage the night that I talked to Martin Halley. This is We Banjo 3. It's we all need more kindness in this world. I think that's always appropriate. Thanks, Martin.
We all need more kindness in this world. We all need more kindness.